Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios in Southern California. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. It is nice to have you here. What's going on? Hope you're having a good day. It's a hump day. Got a very good show for you. So if maybe you're dragging a little bit, you're hanging, you're not having a very good day, you're not feeling it, you're not about your gig, you're not about your life, I'm here to help. I'm here to hype you up. I'm here to give you something to do. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up right now. 9 days until the smack off. I'm counting this thing down every single day. You are running out of time. 9 days now. 1-800-636-8686. I'd love for you to follow me on Twitter. I would imagine, since I say that every single day, pretty much if you are going to be on Twitter, you're on Twitter. But there's still a few of you that are maybe thinking about, I don't know about that. Just do it. Just do it. Get on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Thumb out tweets. I'll read them on the air. I'll retweet them. It goes back out to more than 1.4 million people. I can help you build your brand, help you get followers. I'm here to help. Use it. Also, you can shoot me an email at Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. We are front loading today, which is why you want to call the program early and often. David Forst is the GM of the Oakland A's. He has never been on before. He will be on at 40 past, hour number one. Top of hour number two, Charles Robinson, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, joins us. I want to talk about LeSean McCoy with him. Joel Sherman, a New York Post MLB reporter, coming up at 10:40 Pacific. Third hour's open. We are front-loading. All three interviews coming up in hour number one. Also, I've got another profile. Smack off player profile. In fact, plural profiles. You know who's going to get some run today? The Canadians. They're fit. They're great looking. Ask them. Matt and Van, Tyler and Edmonton, get the profile treatment. That's coming up later on. You can still play your way in. 9 days until the smack off. First things first, I mentioned every single day, I'm in SoCal. Right in the middle of SoCal, so why don't we start right there? You know, it's been about a week now, a week and a half, in fact, since LeBron announced that he was going to become a Los Angeles Laker. And there's still this debate as to how he's going to be received. Will Laker fans ever truly accept him? We saw at least a Laker fan deface a mural the other day. You know, the guy's not LeBron. Is he going to be accepted here? Is he going to be welcomed here? It's an ongoing question. I think we got our answer yesterday. Blaze Pizza, a fast food pizza chain that LeBron has invested in, tweeted that they would be giving out free pizza yesterday to celebrate LeBron's arrival. That's one thing. Except LeBron steps in and he retweets it with the following comment. Quote, haven't been to a pizza party in a minute, Culver City, with a couple of emojis. So that got people hyped. And that got people thinking that he was going to show up at the Blaze Pizza in Culver City. Sorry, did I say that got people hyped? They actually lost their collective bleep over that, with the possibility that LeBron might actually show up. As Tori Hart from Yahoo tweeted, quote, hundreds of people are lined up outside Blaze Pizza in Culver City, one since 7:30 a.m., awaiting at King James's potential arrival. franchise owner, Tom Cook, has no idea if or when he's coming, found out about it the same way we all did, end quote. All right, notice I said people showing up at 7:30 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning for pizza, for LeBron. Let me tell you something. I grew up in Los Angeles. I'm a native of Los Angeles. Nobody in LA ever shows up early for anything, ever. The rule in LA is if you're 20 minutes late, you're a half hour early. And these folks are rolling into Culver City at 7:30 a.m. for an event that's not supposed to start until 2 p.m. I mean, that's like the middle of the night. That is so early. I can't even count how many hours early that is. 6.5 hours early for free pizza and a possible glimpse of LeBron. What? Did camping out the night before seem a little over the top? I also understand, being that I'm from LA, that LA loves the idea of free is me and that you could give away garbage. No, I mean literal garbage. And as long as it says free, people will show up for garbage as long as it's free. But this is over the top. I mean, this is extreme. And it shows how much people do love LeBron. And that's before the guys even put on Laker gear. There were kids with signs, people with wacky cars, and of course, lots and lots of Laker gear, lots of Laker jerseys. I'm guessing the crew that showed up and waited for hours for a glimpse of LeBron probably was not that same crew that vandalized his mural in Venice. And then, when a couple of nice cars did roll up, people freaked out, ran right at them, thinking it was LeBron. Spoiler alert, it was not. In fact, LeBron never did show. He never did show. And honestly, if you really read that tweet, he hinted that he was coming, but he certainly did not say that he was coming. I mean, it would have been cool if he did. But if anything else, I think yesterday answered the question of whether or not Laker fans are going to embrace LeBron, whether or not Laker fans love LeBron. They do. They already love the guy. They love LeBron like they love hyping Josh Hart Summer League highlights, which is to say a lot, an enormous amount. And if this guy does show up for a pizza party somewhere, that place is going to explode. So yeah, I think those people who were claiming that LeBron would get booed at Staples are wrong. Because if Laker fan is rolling this deep for fast-fired pizza in the middle of the day or early in the morning, in the middle of the week, just because of a LeBron tweet, I think it's going to be just fine. If they're this hyped about free pizza, imagine what's going to happen when this guy starts winning games and winning fans free tacos. This front-running town will come off the rails altogether. That answers your question. They're into the guy. They love the guy. They're all about the guy. If they're showing up in the middle of the night with a chance to get a glimpse of the guy, now you know. 1-800-636-8686. Were any of you online for that? Were you pissed, or is it all right, and would you do it again? Online at 7:30 in the morning for free fired pizza and the possibility of actually seeing LeBron. All right, topic number one, starting here in SoCal. Other things that I want to get to today. In fact, I know what I want to get to. I've got a blueprint. I don't come here and pull it out of my backside every single day. I know exactly what I'm going to talk about. But if I were to put it out to you, clones, what do you want to talk about? I could probably guess. I know what you're thinking before you think it. I know where you're going before you go there. I would imagine you probably want to talk about that portrait of Eddie George that looks nothing like Eddie George. I know you love that. I do have thoughts on LeSean McCoy. And the thing about that is, notice that I did not rush in yesterday. Now, I'm not saying what this guy did or didn't do. What I'm saying is I don't know what he did or what he didn't do, which is why I did not rush in. But I have thoughts on it. It looks bad. It may not be what it appears to be, and it may not be what it looks like, but it does look bad. It looks really bad. And I'll have that topic a little bit later on. Charles Robinson also will be joining me at the top of hour number two. I want to talk some more about Manny Machado. I actually opened the show yesterday with thoughts about Manny Machado and the fact that the trade deadline's coming up, and this guy is the gem right now. And then what's he do? He goes out and he mashes again. So what's that mean? Will the Yankees double down, or might the Red Sox beat them to it? Episode 43 of the Jim Rome podcast dropped yesterday. One of my favorites ever, Jim Abbott. And what an amazing guy he is. What a class act. Jim Abbott came in studio. If you've not heard that yet, you're going to want to hear that. And I'll reset that. And even if you're not here for long form, great interviews, and you're only here to hear short form idiots on my voicemail, I've got that for you too. Got an update on Derek Jeter. One of the guys that he gave up on and ran off came back to bite him in the backside again. That story's coming up. Did I mention the player profile on Team Canada? Tyler in Edmonton, Matt in Vancouver, coming up a little bit later on. Ryan G. May tweets, did Tori Hart wear his sunglasses at night? When he tweeted that. I don't think that Tori Hart did that, Ryan May. I think you're confusing Tori Hart with Corey Hart. When Nick asked, we didn't want anything of that. Didn't want any part of that. Dude, when the future's that bright, you got to wear your sunglasses at night. Can anybody do better than that? I hope so. It's going to be a long, long day if you can't. Find me on Twitter unless your name is at Ryan G. May. Did Tori Hart wear his sunglasses at night when he tweeted that? Are you expecting some Jungle Jukebox just to break out over something like that? Not happening. Not happening. But the smack-off is in 9 days. Can any of you get in, get yourselves together, and come up with a call within 9 days? I mean, I've got to think that the champ chap, the double champ, left in Laguna, has been working on his call for 9 months. Nate in Appleton tweets, can you tell me what segment you will be profiling Matt in Van and Tyler in Edmonton so I can turn my TV off? Thank you. No, Nate, I can't. I mean, I would tell you I can, but I'm not, but I can't. I don't have that rundown. I don't do the show like that. I know what I want to talk about, but I don't know exactly when I want to talk about it because I want things to be more organic. Sometimes I follow the show. Sometimes I just take it where I want to take it. The answer is no. No, I can't tell you. But I know this, Nate. They're already under your skin and in your head, and that's the entire point. So I will get to that later on. The Canadians are getting over. Phil in Missouri, quote, what a disappointment. No smoke machine, no guarantees about how many titles LA isn't going to win, and most importantly, no Papa Braun.
Not two, not three.
He knows better.
Not four.
He
not
knows
five,
better.
Not six, not seven.
Rob Pelinka was making the point that LeBron's agent tweeted him a congratulations text with a celebration. And then that was that. And then LeBron got on the phone not long thereafter and didn't have much to say. Point being, they don't want to hammer the announcement. They don't want to hammer the decision. They're about making it happen. They're about the results. In other words, they're not about the dry ice. They're not about rising up through the bottom of the stage. They're not about making a bunch of promises. They're not going to go all WWE with it. He knows better. The guy's older. He's more mature. He's evolved. It's LeBron, man. He knows better. He's not doing that. And he's not showing up for your pizza either. Not this time.
Greatness out here, cuz.
I'll tell you this, though. It's free. The pizza's free, so what are you complaining about? Free is me. Free is me. And he has taken to posting workout videos again. He's getting his work in, so don't doubt that. He's out there striving for greatness, cuz.
Striving for greatness out here, cuz.
Watch your head, Hawk. Man, I can't wait for that to happen. That camera on that track is going to clock him one day. Oh! Romy, send an email. I was at that pizza place waiting for LeBron, and you can only guess what my reaction was when he didn't show. Signed, Gordon Hayward. Mike in St. Paul, that jumped today.
Whoa.
Whoa. Awesome. Another girl. That makes three. We talked about that yesterday. You probably saw that video. My favorite part of that was not the reaction, but his wife saying, is daddy happy?
Daddy's always happy.
Once again, if the wife is asking, is daddy happy? She already knows the answer. And daddy, happy. Quote, always being happy is code for daddy is pissed.
Whoa.
I waited 9 months to find out. Another girl.
Whoa.
Bro, get busy. 9 months from now, you might have a different video. Just keep trying until you get it right. Or be grateful that you have a healthy, happy child. Dear Rome, I played your hilarious take on Costco discontinuing the Polish dog for some coworkers this morning. Not only did they love it, but come to find out, some of them were closet clones who had simply lost track of the show since you're not on the radio out here anymore. I showed them all how they can access the show via the podcast, and now you've got some old clones back, as well as a few new ones. War of the Jungle, Unwar Costco, getting rid of the Polish dog, Panos in Fresno. Panos, good looking out. All right, first of all, that was a great take. I got to give myself credit because, frankly, I have not been giving myself nearly enough credit of late. Secondarily, it just reminds me once again, I can't believe it. Like, Rome, you're not on the quote, you're not on the radio anymore out here. They lost track of the jungle. Who are you, Terrence? It's incredible to me. I'm not here to crack on anybody. There's almost no way you can't find the show, even if your old school station no longer has it. Believe me, there's nothing I take more pride in the fact that there are more than 200 radio stations that still carry this program. I love it. I'm a radio guy. I will always be a radio guy first. There are so many different ways to access the program. And if your affiliate flips or changes format or you move and you just can't find that radio station that has the show, trust me, we're still on the air and you can find the show. Just because you can't find it on your radio dial where it used to be doesn't mean that you can't get the show. I'm going to help you with that. I will help you with that. David Forrest, A's GM, makes his jungle debut coming up at 40 past. We are front-loading today. So, we hear that Amazon is upping its Prime membership fee from $99 to $119 for free shipping. That is a 20% hike. I mean, crazy, right? That is not cheap, especially when Walmart offers free two-day shipping with no membership fee. That's obviously a way better deal. A better deal and an extra $119 in your pocket. Think about what you might do with an extra $119. Here's the deal for everybody listening. What would you rather do with $119? While you're thinking about that, go to WalmartFreeShipping.com for the chance to instantly win a $119 Walmart gift card. Be registered as well for the $1,119 grand prize drawing. It's freaking savage. I love it. That's WalmartFreeShipping.com for complete rules and details. 2 business day shipping, minimum $35 order, restrictions do apply. Head over there, check it out right now.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Again, I'm going back to back. I've got David Forrest, Oakland A's GM, coming up next segment. I've got Charles Robinson at the top of hour number two. So let's talk about LeSean McCoy for a minute. It's been a pretty disturbing and confusing 24 hours involving LeSean McCoy. Yesterday, a post surfaced on Instagram with 2 photos of his estranged girlfriend, one of which was her lying bloodied in a hospital bed yesterday morning. Horrible picture. I mean, a truly horrible picture. The post, allegedly from a friend of the woman, accused McCoy of being, quote, the devil. You are an animal. We didn't say anything about how you beat your dog Henny into kidney failure. Let's not talk about all the times my best friend had to stop you from viciously beating your son for small things like peeing in the bed. We kept quiet about your drug usage, all the illegal steroids and needles you were using. But we will not keep quiet about this. End quote. Allegedly beating a dog into kidney failure, allegedly beating his son, allegedly using roids. These are some incredibly serious allegations, and so are the allegations connected to the photo. The photo is graphic. The photo is brutal. The photo is extremely disturbing. Now, McCoy, for his part, posted a statement on social media that read, quote, "For the record, the totally baseless and offensive claims made against me today on social media are completely false. Furthermore, I have not had any direct contact with any of the people involved in months," end quote. Now, the original Instagram post of the alleged victim has been removed, but it was replaced with one that said that the victim's lawyers requested it be removed and, quote, "I stand by what I said. I personally addressed McCoy on everything that was stated many, many times over the years. Lie to these people if you want, Shady, but you know I know everything," end quote. As always, and especially when accusations and denials are being issued on social media, it is hard to know what is and what is not accurate. So here's what else we do know. There's an active police investigation into a home invasion which took place early Tuesday morning at a property owned by McCoy. During that home invasion, McCoy's estranged girlfriend was allegedly beaten and robbed. In a statement to the media, the police said, quote, "The preliminary investigation indicates that this residence was specifically targeted by the suspect or suspects and not a random incident. When officers arrived, they found one victim who had been physically assaulted by a lone intruder. During the altercation, the suspect demanded specific items from the victim," end quote. The victim's attorney said that the victim was sleeping in the house when an assailant entered and demanded, quote, "specific items of jewelry," end quote, that she had received from McCoy. The attorney said that the assailant bruised the victim's wrists as he attempted to remove her bracelet, struck her in the head with a weapon. The attorney also alleges that McCoy had told the victim that he wanted the jewelry back. So, it's a really complicated and confusing story, and it's one that's obviously going to take time to play out. One that's going to take time to get to the bottom of. But the photo is awful, and the allegations are too. Now, nobody's alleging that McCoy carried out the attack. He was training in Florida at that time. But it doesn't look great for him that the attacker allegedly demanded specific items from the victim that McCoy himself had allegedly asked for in the past. Also, it doesn't look great that there was no forced entry. And the statement that he released on social media is weird. To me, it's weird. Look, I've never been in a situation like this. I don't know the ins and outs of their relationship, but he doesn't seem especially concerned about somebody breaking into a house that he owns and attacking somebody that he allegedly knows. Doesn't seem all that concerned about any of that. Again, a lot of it's speculation at this point. And speculation, especially in a situation like this, is extremely dangerous and unhelpful. And it's probably also not helpful that Richie Incognito is the guy jumping in on Twitter to declare, and I quote, this is Richie Incognito, quote, "Prayers up for my G at Cut on Dime 25. I know the whole story. You good to go, family. I love you, my G. Hashtag always and forever." Thanks for that, Richard. Hey, look, I get that you want to have your guys back, but maybe you take a breather on this play before declaring that you know the whole story and that McCoy is, quote, good to go. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he knows more than most, but does he know the whole story? Maybe, maybe not. At this point, it'd be hard to say that anybody knows the whole story, but apparently Richie Incognito does. And in my mind, we really don't need to let justice run its course because, as Richard states, his G is, quote, good to go. Oh, always and forever. Except for one problem. The police aren't saying that, and neither is the NFL, which is also investigating. Once again, I'm never the guy to rush in with the hammer or mash my keyboard or iPhone with a definitive statement because without more information, I don't have one. So I'm never going to go off half-cocked. Never have, never will. But I can definitely say this much. It looks bad. It looks really, really bad. And unlike Richie Incognito, I am not prepared to say that McCoy is, quote, good to go. I mean, who knows, right? Who knows? He may be closer to having played his last down than he is to playing his next. We just don't know. Only thing we do know is that there are going to be a lot more twists and turns to this story, and it's probably not going to be pretty, no matter what Richie Incognito says. 1-800-636-8686. More on that story at the top of hour number two with Charles Robinson, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. When we come back, we talk A's baseball. A's GM David Forst makes his Jungle debut. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm looking for a golden ticket. In fact, I've got a stack of them. Come and get them. You have your telephone number. Smackoffs, 9 days out. But first, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And it's time to ask the pros, where you get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So you want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask your question right there. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are joined right now by the general manager of the Oakland A's. He was named GM in October of 2015. Previously spent 12 years as an assistant GM. He was a third-team All-American at Harvard. Oakland is 51-41 on the year. They're at Houston this evening, 8:10 p.m. Eastern start. GM David Forst is my guest. David, really nice to have you on the show. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. It's an honor to be in the jungle. How you doing?
It's great to have you in the jungle, David. Great to have you. I'm doing great. Thanks so much. You had a tough one last night. The Astros had that walk-off tapper in front of the plate in the 11th. I mean, those kind of things, David, are going to happen over the course of a 162-game season. But does a game like that sting a little bit more than a regular season loss, or do you just put that in the past and focus on tonight as quickly as you can?
You know, actually, I think it's the opposite. I think our guys were focused more on the comeback, four runs in the ninth, going ahead in the 11th, and then just kind of a fluke thing that let that one get away from us. But, you know, we've played so well of late. We've worked our bullpen pretty hard, and it was bound to happen. But I think our guys were focused on all the right things after the game.
All right, so I'm going to get to that bullpen in a minute. But last season, you ended up by winning 17 of your final 24. And I spoke with Bob Melvin in spring training, and the optimism was very clear. So how important was it to close out last year the way you did? And then what kind of expectations did you have coming into this season?
Yeah, I think that was a great start for this group. You know, we brought up a number of the young players, Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, Chad Pinder, all came up late in the year, and we played really well to close it out. And I think everybody had a good feeling going into the off season, and they certainly have built on that momentum. And we've got a couple of veterans in the middle of the lineup, Jed Lowry and Chris Davis, who are kind of the anchors of our lineup. But the young guys got a little taste of winning late last year, and it's carried over. It's been great.
David Forst joining us. So you're right in the hunt right now. You're 10 games over 500. Did you expect to be where you are right now, or maybe are you running a little ahead of schedule, especially when you consider some of the injuries that you've had to deal with?
Yeah, considering the starting pitching injuries, it's hard to imagine we would have been here. If you told me, Edwin Jackson and Brett Anderson were in our rotation in July, I'm not sure I would have guessed that we were going to be 10 games over. But we knew coming into the year that we had a good offense. We were going to score some runs, and we really felt like the bullpen was going to be a strength. We added Ryan Buchter, added Emilio Pagan. We thought Lou Trevino would be a contributor at some point. So we knew there were some things we did well, and if the starting pitching could keep us in games, we were going to have a chance, and that's been exactly the formula all year.
A's GM David Forst joining us here in the jungle. All right, speaking of that bullpen, you did a segment of mean tweets in the offseason as part of Giving Tuesday. It really was funny. Among the gems was this: Bob Melvin probably dreams of smothering David Forst with a pillow for giving him this trash bullpen. End of quote. And one more: I wouldn't recommend waiting for a Michael Lewis book and movie about David Forst. Quote, end of quote. You handled that segment like a pro, but is there any part of you now that wants to say, hey, everybody, we are right in line for a postseason spot. Where are your mean tweets today?
I did have fun doing that, and Dallas Braden was with me, and he hosted it great. But, look, I've been here. This is my 19th year. I know the ups and downs. The nice thing is we have passionate fans, and Oakland fans get a bad rap because of our attendance, and we play in an old building. But the fans who do come out care. They care deeply about this club, and it's part of the gig to take some ribbing once in a while. But look, we knew we had to address the bullpen, and we feel like we've done a good job with that.
Hey, listen, you spent 19 years there. You just made that point. I mean, you've had other opportunities. You could have gone elsewhere. What is it that makes that opportunity and that organization so unique that you never have left?
Yeah, I've been really lucky, and you know, first of all, working with Billy has been great. I mean, he brought me in here; he's given me every opportunity. So working with Billy has been the number one thing, and you know, the organization treats people well. We have people here who've been here literally since the day the team moved from Kansas City. Our clubhouse manager Steve Vucinich has been here for 50 years, so people enjoy here. You know, as a SoCal guy, it's hard to say I love living up here in NorCal, but I do. My family loves it here, and there's just never been a good reason to leave.
David Forrest joining us. All right, you mentioned Edwin Jackson. I got to ask you about him. He was signed to a deal earlier this season and then was called up last month, and he got the start against Detroit. In doing so, he tied the MLB record for most teams played for at 13, and since he's been with you, he's been solid, 1-0 record, and ERA 2.45. I mean, what's that tell you about his professionalism and what he brings to your team?
You're exactly right. I mean, I didn't know Edwin at all before we called him up. I've had a chance to talk to him. He fits in well everywhere. I can totally see why he's been able to bounce around like he has. He's a pro. You know, he enjoys being around his teammates. He enjoys meeting new guys. And he's got a track record of success. So he's been a perfect guy to have here. And I certainly hope the success on the mound keeps rolling.
All right, so knowing where you are right now, and you've got to look at a postseason bid, how do you approach the trade deadline?
Well, I think first of all, we got a few weeks to go. We're going to get through the break. We've got two more games against Houston, six against the Giants, and then we'll see where we're at. But, you know, this group deserves a chance to stay together. They deserve a chance to play this thing out. I think we know here how precious playoff opportunities are, and you don't just punt them because you're a little bit ahead of schedule or maybe didn't expect to be here. So, you know, there have been a lot of comparisons made between this team and the 2012 team that kind of came out of nowhere, and it remains to be seen how that plays out over the last couple months. But this group likes each other. They enjoy playing together, and I think we're going to go into the next 3 weeks feeling like, hey, let's see if we can stick together, you know, hold this group and maybe even, you know, help them out a little bit.
We're talking to David Forrest and getting ready for that as well. David, you played your college baseball at Harvard, as I mentioned off the top. Then you were in the Frontier League. What were those days like for you as a player?
I loved playing. I wanted to be here in Oakland as a player growing up and playing college ball and then a little bit independent. And, I got to play 2 years independent ball and kind of get it out of my system and realize, all right, it's not going to happen for me on the field. But it was frankly a great internship for working in baseball because you're riding the buses, you're going to the park every day. And, those years in Springfield were great. I should tell you that I played in Springfield in 98 and I brought my copy of Welcome to the Jungle to the clubhouse.
Love that. Well, that's amazing.
That team in 98 played that CD just about every day before we headed out on the field.
So, that is the best.
That's one of my memories from playing independent ball. It was perfectly timed for your show to go syndicated and then that CD to come out. But it was, like I said, I love my time on the field. I was one of the rare guys who knew when his time was up and knew it was time to move into the front office.
Good, David, that is such a great story. I really appreciate you sharing that. So now, you grew up in Encino, right? Did you play Encino Little League?
I sure did. My folks live about a block and a half from that field.
All right, now that's a really, really good Little League. What was it like back then?
It was competitive. You know, I grew up there playing on the field. There were a bunch of guys who were a year or two older than me that went on to play D1 at SC and UCLA and go play pro ball. And there are a lot of good names, a lot of good ball players who came out of that park.
Yeah, I wonder, is Reggie Smith still down there? We don't live there anymore, but I can remember he was holding court there for a long, long time.
He was, yep. When I was growing up, he was given hitting lessons there. He was running camps out of Encino Little League. He was a legend around those parts.
818 for life, David Forrest joining us. You know, I actually played Sherman Oaks Little League, which was all right, but it was not Encino Little League. Definitely not.
I think you were a little ahead of me, but by the time I was there, like I said, there were some good players.
All right, so before you go, let me ask you this. You were a non-roster invitee to the Red Sox camp in 1999, and then you were released, and then you went back to the Frontier League. So then you probably start to think, well, maybe I want to stay in baseball. There are other things to do. Because you've been on the other side of that table, now that you sit where you sit, what's it like when you have to have a hard conversation with a player?
Yeah, I think that experience was huge in sort of helping me empathize with the guys in uniform. I was there for 3 weeks. I was basically 4 years older than anybody else who I was working out with, and it made total sense that I got released. But I at least went through that experience and understand, particularly the minor league guys, you know, what their mindset is, how badly they want this, and how devastating it is when they, you know, get sent down, don't get promoted, or get released. And hopefully over my time here, it has allowed me to, you know, kind of be in their shoes and help them out a little bit along the way.
David Forrest joining us. One last thought then. In this year's draft, of course, you selected Kyler Murray in the first round. Many people know he's competing to be the starting quarterback at Oklahoma, which does carry with it some risk. So what did you see in him that made you feel like he was somebody that you wanted in that spot, despite that risk?
This guy is just an outstanding athlete, just an incredible talent, and a guy who basically went out with about 100 plate appearances in the last 3 years and raked at Oklahoma his junior year. And you can see the skills, you can see the talent anytime you go watch him play. And we were just kind of blown away as a staff by what he's capable of, what his upside is. And, you know, ultimately we just have to kind of hold our breath for the next 6 months. I'm not a huge college football fan, but I will be watching OU every Saturday this fall and keeping my fingers crossed he stays healthy.
No doubt. I got to think, even at the highest level where you are right now, David, you've got to have such great memories of playing college baseball. Do you stay in contact with a lot of your college teammates? And as you think back, was that not one of the best times of your life?
Absolutely. Yeah, those are my best friends in the world right now, the guys I played with at Harvard. We just had our 20th college reunion last month, and you keep in touch. You talk about, you know, the teams, the winning teams are the ones that you remember. We won the Ivy League my junior and senior year, went to a regional. We beat UCLA in a regional in 97 at Oklahoma State, and I still run into guys like Eric Burns, Eric Valent, Troy Glass, and I get to remind them we beat them in a regional. So those were absolutely the best times.
Dude, seriously. How sweet is that? How good does that feel, especially when you run into monsters like that? How good did that feel to beat those guys?
It's good. Burnsy was here when I first started in 2000. Burnsy was in the organization. I talk to him all the time. He pops into spring training, and he knows. He knows I've got that over him.
Yeah, I keep trying to let you go, but one final thought about Burnsy. I'd love to say that every clubhouse has one, but it doesn't, right? How unique a character and player was Eric Burns?
Amazing. I mean, we knew it when he was here that he was one of a kind, and he's only sort of increased that status as the years have gone on with his act on MLB Network. He's running, you know, those Uber triathlons or whatever they are. He's writing books. He's a pretty unique guy, and it was fun to be around him as a player, and I've enjoyed staying in touch with him over the years.
Oakland is ahead of schedule. They're 10 games over 500. They've got another shot at Houston tonight. They're 51-41. Their GM, David Forrest, my guest. David, I love that story about the Welcome to the Jungle CD. Thanks so much for that. Good to finally have you on the show. We got to do it again soon.
Absolutely, Jim. I really enjoyed talking to you.
That was a blast, David. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you. David Forrest, another 818er, killing the game. Encino Little League.
818 for life.
I want to hear from somebody driving up and down Ventura Boulevard. Encino Little League is a good Little League, as I mentioned. I played a little bit further down the street. Sherman Oaks Little League. Jay Courier, 31, tweets, thanks for the freaking jungle karma, brother. Love my A's. I do, too. I've always loved the A's.
Brother.
And I love that front office. Billy Beam would come on the show a lot back in the day. And David Forrest stayed there. We're talking about a guy who played his college ball at Harvard, Harvard-educated. I'm sure he's had many, many opportunities to leave. Never did. 19 years in the organization. And again, there are certain challenges that come along with being in that organization. Financial challenges. But there's a reason why guys like that, guys of that character, guys of that quality, Billy Beam, David Forrest, have never left. Either one of them could have gone pretty much anywhere they wanted, but neither one of them ever left. At Mock Moda tweets, jungle freaking karma. Thanks, Rome. As an A's fan, life is good, and Forrest is the man to get us there. War green and gold.
Don't forget Mock Moda.
Those mean tweets are really funny. Quote, Bob Melvin probably dreams of smothering David Forrest with a pillow for giving him this trash bullpen. Quote, I wouldn't recommend waiting for a Michael Lewis book and movie about David Forrest. I'll tell you what, it might not be that far-fetched at this point. He's doing a really nice job there. Again, 10 games over 500. Lost a tough one last night, but 10 games over 500. They're ahead of schedule. Getting ready now for hour number two. Top of the hour, I have Charles Robinson. I want to talk to him about LeSean McCoy. Joel Sherman coming up next hour. Looking for a good telephone call. Looking for a golden ticket recipient. Also still ahead, I want to go back and talk Ep 43 of the Jim Rome podcast. Jim Abbott came in studio. And I've done this a long, long time. I'm not sure that I've really covered, talked to, spent much time with somebody quite like Jim Abbott. And it was really nice to get caught up with him. You're going to want to listen to that. Ep 43 of the Jim Rome podcast. I want to reset that for you. In terms of that walk-off last night, Alex Bregman walked off the Astros. Let me tell you something. My name is Jim Rome, and Alex Bregman is going to walk you off. He did it again. Five times. That guy's done that. And all in different ways, right? But he did it again last night. When we come back, Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, is my guest. Do not go anywhere. Phone lines are open. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Hour number two is straight ahead.